News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, the Justice Minister, Helen McEntee, has this morning commenced the Criminal Justice Act 2024, which will make it an offence for an adult to either force or encourage children to engage in criminal activity. The Minister joins us now. Minister, explain what this act actually entails.
Good morning, Shane. Well, firstly, what this will mean now is for the first time our laws will recognise the absolutely devastating impact that grooming a child or bringing a child into a life of crime, that the impact it can have on that child. We know that there are many vulnerable young people across the country who are targeted by criminals, targeted by organised crime groups. They are enticed or coerced into what they believe and what they're sold to be a wonderful life with money, with access to whatever they want. But we know that in so many instances, these young people, they're dragged into a life of crime, they're dragged into to drug dealing, they end up in that scenario themselves. And for so many of them, it leads to prison and some instances worse. So what we're doing for the first time is recognising and acknowledging that this is a serious crime in itself. So where a young person is coerced, for example, into dealing drugs or running drugs for an organised crime group, an adult at the moment can be criminalised for that crime, but they're not criminalised for the grooming itself, for the enticing of a young person. So they can face up to 12 months or indeed 5 years in prison specifically for that act. And I think this is part of a wider suite of measures and a number of changes that I've been making to try and break the link between young people and these organised crime groups, because their life and their expectations and the options available to them are completely diminished the minute that they are brought into this particular life and this lifestyle. And we have to acknowledge the harm that it does. And that's what we're doing here today with this law.
OK, you've a busy day today because you're also launching the new law enforcement system aimed at tackling uninsured driving. Tell us about that.
Well, today is one of a number of days of actions that the Gardaí and our roads policing are engaging in, with a particular focus on insurance enforcement. What we're also doing is officially launching our new insurance database, which Gardaí now have access to on handheld devices. So Gardaí, when they attend or stop a car on the side of the road or they have a checkpoint, they can now automatically, through these handheld devices, identify whether a person has insurance or not. And to date, we have had thousands of cars taken off the road and impounded so far this year alone, where they haven't had insurance, where they haven't had NCT, where they're engaging in other types of dangerous driving or behaviours. And what we do know is that where a person doesn't have insurance, if there's an accident, they're putting themselves and others at risk, but they're more likely to engage in other types of bad driving behaviour. So they're more likely to not have an NCT. They're more likely to be speeding. So it's really, really important that people understand, firstly, the severity of and the implications of driving without insurance, but also that Gardaí are able to access this information as quickly as possible. And that's what we're launching today. This is one of, as I said, a number of days of actions that are taking place across the country, where Gardaí are particularly focusing on what are known as killer behaviours. So how do we make sure that people are slowing down and not speeding? How do we make sure that people are not using phones when they're driving, that they're not, or that they are wearing a seatbelt, but also that people are not driving while they're under the influence of drinking or taking drugs? So, you know, we all have a role to play here. Enforcement is a huge part in bringing down the number of road deaths that we've seen in recent years. But each and every one of us have a role to play in making sure that we're upholding the law and that we're driving with care, that we have insurance, that we have our NCT, and that we're not engaging in these type of behaviours that are so dangerous and that have led to many of the deaths, unfortunately, that we've seen on our roads in recent months and years.
Okay. Can I ask you just about some other issues? We had your government colleague, Senator Malcolm Byrne, on the show yesterday, Fianna Fáil, reiterating calls for a bill to prevent protests outside private residences. Look, I know you had your own very unpleasant situation last month, which your own family home, a slightly different matter, but is it something you think should happen? Should we have legislation that stops people protesting outside politicians' homes, do you think?
Do you know, I think we're living in a changed dynamic and a changed world, particularly when it comes to politics. And unfortunately, we have seen an increase in violence. We've seen an increase in intimidation. We've seen an increase in people even running for election being intimidated as they go about their canvassing or their teams going about their canvassing. We've seen that. We can't accept it and we can't tolerate it. So whether it's legislating to protect any person in their home, and I don't think this should be specific to any individual, while the target, unfortunately, you know, the focus at the moment because of elections is on public representatives. We can't have a situation where anybody is targeted in their home or anybody is targeted while they go
Will you legislate for it?
So this is legislation that I've worked with Malcolm Noonan on over the last number of weeks. It's passed particular stages in the Seanad. I do think we need to look at making sure that anything we pass that is effective. So obviously we need to look at potential implications here where you might restrict a person from protesting outside a person's house, depending on where the person lives, depending on, you know, making sure that a person still has a right to protest and to peaceful protest. We have to work through some of these challenges here. So I think the most important thing here is that we're saying it should not be tolerated that any person can be intimidated, be it outside of their home or as they go about their work. We need to make sure that every lever is available to the Gardaí to deal with that. And to that effect, we do have already a number of laws in place. We do have a number of laws that Gardaí are actively using where people are being threatened or put at risk at the moment. But if we need to go further and working with Senator Byrne and others, if we need to go further, if we can go further, then we certainly should.
Okay. Can I ask you about this diplomatic spat between the Irish government and the Israeli government? The Israeli ambassador accusing Ireland of having a disproportionate, or sorry, not the Israeli ambassador, Israel accusing Ireland of having a disproportionate obsession with Israel that we don't see with any. I'll ask that question again. Can I ask you about the diplomatic spat with the Israeli government and in particular comments from the Israeli ambassador that Ireland has a disproportionate obsession with Israel that we don't see with any other country, she says?
Well, firstly, I mean, Ireland has always been very clear when it comes to Israel. We fully support Israel's right to exist in safety, to exist and coexist with its neighbours in the region. We have always supported that and will always support that. But we've also been very clear that we believe the only way to resolve the conflict that has been going on for decades in the region is through a two-state solution. So recognising Israel and the people of Israel's right to exist, but also the people of Palestine's right to exist. And that is why this week a decision was taken to formally recognise the state of Palestine. We have always said as a country that we would do this, that we believe this is the pathway towards a peaceful solution in the region, that we would do it at a time that is right. And for us, we believe, and this was obviously done in conjunction with our European partners in Spain and Norway, we believe now is the right time to recognise the people of Palestine. And this is very, you know, we are very much recognising...
Days after Hamas are effectively accused of war crimes by the International Criminal Court?
This is absolutely nothing to do with Hamas. Hamas are a terrorist organisation. They are a brutal terrorist organisation.
That do govern in Gaza.
They must be held responsible for their crimes. The people of Gaza, the innocent civilians that are now being killed and the thousands that have been killed over the last number of months, they are innocent in all of this. We need them to know that we see them, that we recognise them, that we want a peaceful solution for them. But that doesn't take away from the fact that we have consistently and persistently called for the release of all hostages. What happened last year, the brutal attacks by Hamas, they have to be held accountable and we cannot be any clearer. We are unequivocal in that. We must have the immediate release of hostages. All those who are responsible for any type of war crimes here need to be held accountable. We have to have a peaceful solution.
All right.
The only way that there will be
a peaceful
solution moving forward.
Minister, before
recognising both states.
Before I let you go, can I just ask you, because the immigration issue is still a huge issue. We still have tents on the Grand Canal. As a government, you're failing to deal with this issue.
We are dealing with this issue. We have dealt with this issue. It's a challenge. Nobody is saying that this hasn't been a challenge. But where people are not being provided with accommodation, we are moving as quickly as we can to identify and to find that accommodation.
Not quickly enough, though, Minister, I suppose, is the point.
Well, we are moving as quickly as we possibly can. The overall objective here is making sure that we have a system that works, that is fair and that is firm, that makes sure that people who genuinely need protection, who come here, who are fleeing war and persecution, that they not only get that protection, but that they get an opportunity to move on with their lives as quickly as possible. But we also have to make sure that those who are coming here, those who are economic migrants who shouldn't be using our international protection system, that they're given that negative decision and that they're sent home as quickly as possible. We've obviously seen a significant increase in numbers in a very short space of time. We're not alone across Europe in that. We have more people moving globally than we've seen since World War II. But we are responding to that in the quickest, in the most efficient and most effective way that we can. And this is all of government working together to make sure that we can provide that support to people who need it, but also that people who don't require that support, that they are sent home as quickly as possible. Where we have challenges...
Which is something you haven't done. You haven't been sending people home as quickly as possible.
Well, what we've seen in particular is I've been ramping up the international protection system over the last 2 years, where we've doubled the number of applications, trebled the output. This year alone, we've seen the number of deportation orders increased by 50%, the number of enforcements increased by almost 200%, the number of people that are assisted to return home increased by over 120%.
All right,
Minister. So the more we invest in the system, the more we ramp it up from very start to finish, the more effective it is.
Justice Minister Helen McEntee, we will leave it there. Thank you for talking to News Talk Breakfast this morning.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.